Acts chapter number 10 is one of the pivotal verses, one of the pivotal chapters in Acts. Of course, we know in Acts chapter number 8, the Ethiopian eunuch gets saved like we get saved, and then he gets baptized when Philip's preaching to him Jesus out of Isaiah 53. But there's something special that happens in Acts chapter 10. I'm not saying that the Ethiopian eunuch's salvation wasn't special, praise God. But there's something special and a special message in Acts chapter number 10 that's conveyed like it's not conveyed any other place. And we'll read down through here a little ways, beginning in verse number 1. There was a certain man of Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. When the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. When he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, and he became very hungry, and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance, and saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein were all manners of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius and made inquiry for Simon's house, and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house, and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after, they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, Ye know how that is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come into one of another nation. But God has shewed me that I should call any man, should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore, came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. And said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these, we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, who they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and shewed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the apostles witness, to him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. And many as came to Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Now here we see a magnificent thing that Peter is given, a vision and clarity of the church. Peter was an apostle to the Jews. Paul was more of an apostle to the Gentiles. And here Peter is focused on the Jews. And if Cornelius had sent these men to Peter on any other time earlier than the vision Peter had, Peter would not have went to the uncircumcised. He would not have went to the dogs, to the Gentiles, to the people that weren't even a people. Cornelius being a Gentile. But there was something happened. As you remember in Jesus' ministry, he was going to the Jews, and the Jews were fleeing from him and rejecting him, mocking and ridiculing him, and the Gentiles were coming and worshiping him. And at first he was not accepting that worship because he was focused on the Jews. But then he began to turn to the Gentiles, what we're looking at here. And I want to look at a few things today in this Acts chapter 10 passage. And the first thing in verse number 2 is Cornelius' dedication. It says, Cornelius, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Now you'll hear, and I've heard it before, and you've probably heard it if you've been in many churches at all, and I've heard it in some Baptist churches say, well, you know, God doesn't hear any lost man's prayer except a prayer for salvation. Well, I don't believe that. We're looking at a book right here that tells us God knew Cornelius was praying and looking for truth. He wasn't asking for salvation through Jesus Christ. He feared God. He was showing God's mercy and grace by giving alms, which means he was giving to the poor and helping people. And God heard the prayers, and he saw what Cornelius as a lost Gentile was doing. And we see Cornelius' dedication. He was devout. That means he was serious about serving God. He was devout. You hear people say, well, they're a devout Catholic. They're a devout Christian. They're a devout Jew. They're a devout... That means they are serious about their religion. They are serious about their beliefs. And Cornelius, a Gentile, was serious in his fear for God and wanting to please God. But he didn't know God the way he was about to know God. We see his dedication. In verse 2 it says, again, a devout man and one that feareth God, feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. We see his desperation. He was desperately crying out to God. You know, there are a lot of people out there in the world that are desperately crying out for help, and they don't know who to cry out to. They don't understand the Bible. The Bible is the most popular book, the best-selling book, this King James Bible right here today, the best-selling book of all times, the most read book, and yet the most misunderstood book. That's why God said in this Bible, and you're not going to find it in the other perverted Bibles, study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When you don't rightly divide the word, you don't understand the word. And the world has been bamboozled into believing that God is a God of hate and judgment, and he has no love and mercy. And the truth is, his love and mercy was shown on Calvary. Amen and amen. When he gave his only begotten Son for a lost and dying world. Cornelius was dedicated. He had dedication and he had desperation. He really, seriously wanted to get hold of God. You know what people need? Remember what the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip, when they were talking in Acts chapter 8, and the Ethiopian eunuch was reading out of Isaiah 53, and Philip said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how could I except some man could guide me? He said, well, that's the pastor's job. No, that's our job as Christians, as born-again believers, is to guide people to Jesus Christ. Philip, out of Isaiah 53, preached unto him Jesus. The answer is not some generic God. The answer is not this fairy tale, Disney World, only believe, only believe, only believe that there is a God. The answer is pointing folks to the cross. Pointing folks to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because everybody out there knows they're a sinner. I mean, they might play a game with you. They might play a game with themselves. They might deny it and try to reject it. But in the heart of hearts, they know they're wicked and deserve to be in hell. And they don't have an answer, so they pretend like the problem doesn't exist. You have the answer. And the answer is not, well, if you just get your sin right. The answer is, hey, look, sinner, Jesus Christ died for sinners. He shed his blood on Calvary. He hung on that cursed tree for you so you could have eternal life. And he come back out of that grave, and if you'll trust him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, he will save you out of that sin mess you're in. People know they have a problem. They've just been lied to about the answer. Cornelius was, he had dedication, he had desperation. In 3 through 6, he had this vision. In verse 4 it says, and we looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? What happened to Paul in Acts chapter 9? He's on his face in that bright light and calls Jesus Lord. He says, what is it, Lord? And the Lord explains to him, to send somebody to Joppa. So what we see here is because of his dedication, his desperation, we see a dispensation. And I'm not talking about church age, tribulation. I'm talking about him dispensing truth to a lost Gentile and dispensing direction. He said, you're looking for truth. I'm going to send you to send men to Joppa, and Peter's going to come back and he's going to give you the truth. And then we see in verse 7 and 8, and when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. We see his determination. He was looking for an answer. God tells him how to get the answer, and he acts on that. He put boots on the ground. You know, a lot of times we'll be looking for an answer, but we're not willing to put the effort out to get the answer. Cornelius said, I'm going to get this Peter guy over here, and I'm going to find the answer. A lot of times God will move us, and he'll say, well, you got a problem. Where's the answer? And God will say, well, the answer is in the Bible. Pray and read your Bible. Well, we've got the attention span of an ant, right? So, well, an ant has longer attention span. We've got the attention span of a two-year-old spider monkey. I don't know, something. So we'll open the Bible and we'll read a verse or two. Maybe we'll extend it out a little bit, read a chapter or two. Then we'll get the answer. And maybe God wants you to go a little further. Maybe while you're looking for the answer, he's going to give you some other things. Maybe he's trying to do a couple of different things. Maybe he's trying to prepare you for the answer. Maybe he's trying to give you something for some other time that you don't know you need yet before you get the answer. I believe God just sometimes won't give us the answer directly because he wants to talk to us. He doesn't want to just go, okay, yes or no. He wants to sit down and commune with you. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants to walk with you like he walked with Adam in the garden and talk with you like he talked with Adam in the garden. He wants that relationship where he can say, okay, I'm going to give you an answer. I'm going to give you help. I'm going to give you strength. I'm going to give you what you need. But right now, give me your ear and let me help you. I don't know about you, but I can't identify all my problems. I can identify the immediate need sometimes. But God's better than any psychiatrist, better than any psychologist, better than any philosopher. And he has the answers that nobody else has. And he wants to talk with you. In Cornelius' determination, he sent the men to Joppa and was willing to wait to hear from Simon Peter. Then in 9 through 16, Peter gets this amazing vision. I mean, he's hungry. His flesh is hungry. And he's getting ready to eat, and he goes into this trance, and God shows him this sheet rent down from heaven, rolls down with all these unclean animals, and he says, not to call anything I call clean unclean. Not to call them uncommon. He says, if I say it's clean, it's clean. We've seen Cornelius' dedication, his desperation, the dispensation, his determination. And now we see something that's important for us as believers. We see Peter's preparation. You say, well, the world's just going, you know, quote unquote, to hell in a handbag or whatever people want to say, or the world's going the wrong way or slipping off into apostasy and all this stuff. Why is it happening? Because God's people are not being prepared to do the jobs God has called them to do. Peter could have, like I said earlier, if the Gentile would have come to Peter without the preparation, Peter would have denied him. He wouldn't have even went. But Peter identified the opportunity because of the preparation that God was putting him through. So, well, and I do, I tell people this all the time when I'm witness to them. They go, well, I don't go to church because, somebody hurt my feelings. Somebody hurt my feelings and I just quit. Or I went to another church that was all about love and then I quit that. And I just give up and I believe and I believe and I believe, but I quit because somebody took my parking spot. Somebody used the last Kleenex in the fuse, whatever. You know, It doesn't take a whole lot to get people out. Usually they're out a long time before the last Kleenex. They just finally leave then, amen. But now, you know, and I said, look, you don't have to go to church to get saved. You have to go to church, you have to go to Jesus Christ to get saved. I think you ought to be in church, and I'm not even inviting you to church today. I'm inviting you to Jesus Christ. You must be born again. Give him the gospel. But once you're saved, if you're not in a Bible-believing church, rightly dividing the book, you're not getting the preparation that God wants you to have to keep going for him. Church is like, okay, you believe, so you graduated kindergarten. Amen. You believe. You got saved. You called on Christ. You graduate kindergarten, you're going to heaven. You know you're saved, you're sealed, you're set apart. But church is where you find out that it ain't all roses and lollipops, and God has a plan for you, and he's going to prepare you to keep going forward. So on Wednesday and Sunday, we meet together, and we brag on Jesus Christ. We open this book, and hopefully God will open our understandings to it, and we can, our hearts will burn within us as we walk with him, and he opens the scripture into us, and we can learn more about what Christianity truly is. You're not going to learn it from the TV preachers, amen. You're not going to learn it. They've already got too big for their britches, most of them, and they're just going to tell you what makes them look good. But I'm here to tell you it's about what makes Jesus Christ be seen the way he is, and that is good. Our preparation is the trying as a church to unify, to brag on Jesus Christ and understand his death, burial, and resurrection, to try to wrap our minds around the love of God, the gift of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, and to grow in Christ and to be a blessing one another and pray for one another and grow together in Christ. But that preparation doesn't stop on Sunday and Wednesday. You notice Peter didn't say, well, show up at the synagogue on Sunday and I'll tell you. I'm not against it. If somebody's giving you questions and stuff, you can't answer them, say, hey, come talk to our preacher. I might not be able to give them the answer either, but I'll be willing to talk to them. Invite them in. Come one Sunday and ask the preacher after service. Praise the Lord. But we're not always waiting on Sunday, amen. God is preparing you to be the witness he wants you to be. He prepares you to be the prayer warrior he wants you to be. But Peter's preparation for this magnificent event that's about to take place was directly from God. He didn't go to the synagogue and the priest tell him. He didn't go to Paul and Paul tell him. Of course, Paul just got saved. Paul's still trying to figure things out. But God told him directly, and God will speak to you directly from this book. And he'll give you preparation directly. You know, the interesting thing is, sometimes you'll go to church and you'll feel like you didn't get anything because you didn't prepare before you went to church. If you're reading your Bible every day, God's going to give you things. And I've heard it, I hear it over and over and over again. And that confirms to me that we're all on the right page a lot of times. Because somebody said, I was just reading about that and you preached on it. You just answered a question I had. It has nothing to do with me. God prepared you for what he was preparing me to deliver on Sunday, and you got something you wouldn't have gotten otherwise. Sometimes it's just encouragement that we're on the right track. Amen? And sometimes it's like, boy, this has really been bothering me. I don't know what to do. I'm gonna have to ask somebody about it. And then you come up Wednesday night or Sunday, and we hit it, and the Lord's like, there you go. It'll encourage you to read your Bible. It'll encourage you to be in church. It'll encourage you to seek truth. But Peter's preparation, he said, don't call anything unclean that I call clean. And we see God making a hard turn toward the Gentiles. In 17 through 20, now while Peter doubted himself what this vision, which he had seen, should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry of Simon's house, for Simon's house, and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. We see Peter's preparation, and now we see the confirmation. You ever feel like you're on the right track and you're looking for confirmation and the Lord just nails it down? So there's absolutely no doubt you're doing the right thing. Absolutely no doubt God's in it. Absolutely no doubt that He's guiding. And that's what Peter got, was confirmation on the preparation. And because of that confirmation, look at verse 30. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. At the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. There's more of that confirmation. You know what, Peter in his zeal, he's probably like, I just want to tell all the Jews about Jesus. He says, I just need an audience. I'm going to tell all the Jews about Jesus. And then God comes along and he opens up this vision to him. He says, I'm going to send you to the unclean. Don't call them unclean when I call them clean. He goes to Cornelius, and Cornelius, God verifies it to Cornelius. He verifies it to Peter, and he gives Peter an audience when he gets there, and it's not just Cornelius. Because Peter's preparation, the confirmation, we're able to get to verse 34. Look at verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. So now he knows he's on track going to the Gentiles. And he goes on down through here and he's preaching to them about Jesus Christ being crucified. And in verse number 40, he says, Him God raised up the third day and shewed him openly. Because of Cornelius' dedication, look at the puzzle God put together here. Because of Cornelius' dedication, his desperation, that dispensation, his determination, Peter's preparation and the confirmation, Peter is able to have this audience and he makes this declaration. You know what he declares? Jesus Christ died for you, and God rose him out of the grave. The death, burial, and resurrection. He's preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, and not just one Gentile or one household full of Gentiles, but it says that Cornelius get his family and friends together. Amen? Oh, Peter could have kept plucking the Jews one at a time. I'm going to preach to you, I'm going to preach to you, and preach to you. And God says, wait a minute, I got something bigger for you over here. If you'll just obey me and go to this one man, I'm going to set up something you won't believe. And look what happens in verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. You never know what God's doing, right? One man and his family was being faithful. One preacher was being prepared. One situation was culminating to come together, and God sets it up, and the Holy Ghost didn't just fall on Cornelius and his family, fell on all those that heard the word. And because of all these pieces, and by the way, Peter was not a pastor. He was a saved man that evangelized, right? He was a good Baptist, amen, before Baptists were even cool. Because of Peter's preparation, because of that confirmation, because of that declaration, now look at Cornelius' destination. The Holy Spirit falls on him. Verse 45, and they of the uncircumcision which believed were astonished. First day of the circumcision, which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter. So here's all the Jews, an audience that came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also, this audience that Peter and his friends came to, was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Jews require a sign. They're getting a sign that God's turning to the Gentiles. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. then answered Peter. This is for the early church, to build the early church to show the Jews the Gentiles were getting saved. And then Peter says in verse 47, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? All these Gentiles get saved. That God gives these particular Gentiles the gift of tongues, not because they wanted to brag amongst the Gentiles, but so the Jews that were with Peter could see that God was turning to the people that he had once called unclean. The church age is getting ready to blossom. Jew and Gentile in Christ as children of God, the body of Christ, the church, born again believers, neither Jew nor Greek, but in Christ. Not only Cornelius' destination of salvation eternally was changed, but everybody that heard. And think about this. The believing Jews, they were changed. Because now they understood more of the plan that God had for the church. The Jews were rejecting Jesus Christ. The Gentiles were glorifying him. And God said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In context, that's what he's talking about. Neither Jew nor Greek. It doesn't matter if it's a Jew or a Gentile. Paul's telling them in Romans, it doesn't matter whether they're Jew or Gentile. They're calling on Jesus Christ, I'll save them. Isn't that something? What started this? Well, the Holy Spirit and two men. Peter, that had the zeal without the knowledge. Cornelius, that had a desire for truth and wanted to please God, and God dispensed knowledge to both of them, brought them together, and seen a great work. A great work. I say that to say this. If you'll do what Peter did and be prepared to declare what God has asked us to declare, God will give you an audience. He'll give you an audience. Not only will he give you an audience, he'll give you exceedingly and abundantly more than you expect. Because I'm here to tell you, I believe from what I've seen in my life and what I've seen in this book and what I've seen in other Christians' lives, that if you will do what you're called to do, and I say first, pray and read your Bible and prepare for God to use you and witness, you're going to get to heaven and find out people got saved you didn't even know, and you were part of it. Amen. Amen. But you've got to be prepared. You've got to be prepared. Pray, read your Bible. Show up at church when you can. I know that there are times when extenuating circumstances. I understand that. God understands that. But just because you're having a rough day, that might be the best time to be in church. I have a rough day every Saturday. I'm just being honest with you. Every Saturday night and Sunday morning, I tell my wife at least three times a month, I don't want to go to church tomorrow. And she reminds me that I'm the pastor. I'm like, okay, I'll go. But that's what the devil does. He says, let's use your list of excuses to keep you from being prepared to do what God has called you to do. Now, I'm not making light of situations. You've got health issues, you've got things come up, I understand that. But when the devil and you are just fighting it out and you'd rather stay home than the lazy boy, believe me, I go through the same thing. And it's not going to end until the Lord calls us out of here. We've got to fight this battle and try to do what God's called us to do. But Peter's preparation is what allowed him to make that declaration and see the change of all these destinies. What a passage of Scripture. God's telling a saved Jew, hey, look, it's not all about you guys. It's all about Jesus Christ, and Christ died for the world. God's not a Calvinist. He died for everybody. Amen? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they hear without a preacher? And people equate that word preacher with pastor too often. But you're a preacher. Or you should be. A preacher of truth. I'm not talking about women pastors or any of that stuff. I'm not talking about you have to pastor a church. I'm talking about telling people, hey, it's not about us. It's about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if we focus on that, God will use that and bless that. It's the power of God and the salvation. It's foolishness to the world, but to us, it's the power of God. And people don't get saved by hearing about just the Ten Commandments. People get saved by hearing about what God's done for them. Amen? Sinner, He died for you, shed His blood for you, paid your entire debt. But the good news is He come back out of that grave so you can have eternal life. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Doesn't matter what your sin is. It's a matter of who your kin is. Amen. Are you in the family of God or you still belong to the devil? Father, we love you and thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the passage in Acts chapter 10 that makes it so crystal clear that you want to prepare us to do a job, to do a work that only you can do in us, on us, and through us. Help us as we go forward. In Jesus' name.